Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio, your intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. My name is Fred Flight, Senior Vice President with the Center for Security Policy, and I'm substituting for your usual host, Frank Gaffney. I have three extraordinary guests today, but first I wanted to talk to you about the North Korea situation, specifically a resolution passed last Saturday that puts significant financial sanctions on North Korea in response to its tests in July of two missiles that appear to be ICBMs that may be able to strike the entire continental United States. These were the toughest sanctions ever imposed on North Korea. They reportedly will cut a third of North Korea's export earnings, about $1 billion. But frankly, regardless of how strong they are, and strong sanctions by the UN have been imposed before, they're not going to succeed unless China cooperates. And this is a big problem. There were some pretty tough sanctions passed against North Korea last November in response to missile and nuclear tests that took place last fall. These sanctions put a cap on North Korean exports of coal and iron ore and should have had a significant effect on the North Korean economy. But what happened? In the first quarter of 2017, North Korea's trade with China increased by 37% over the same quarter in 2016, and iron ore exports increased by 250%. This is where North Korea is getting the money it is using to construct nuclear weapons and missiles. North Korea tested 17 missiles in 2017. Kim Jong-un has tested about 84 missiles since he became North Korea's leader in late 2011. That's versus about 31 tests for his father and grandfather combined. China is funding these WMD programs. Now, I think it's significant that China agreed to step up the sanctions after these two ICBM tests, but I think we should make no mistake, a significant factor for China's change in policy is President Donald Trump, who has made it clear that unlike Barack Obama, he's not going to kick this crisis down the road to the next president. And I think the U.S. is starting to make inroads with the Chinese to recognize that North Korea's missile and nuclear programs are on a very dangerous trajectory. Eventually, they will become so advanced that there could be an accident, maybe a missile landing on a neighboring state, or maybe North Korea will decide that it can use these weapons to blackmail regional states or the United States to get something that it wants. Unfortunately, this problem has been allowed to fester far too long and is really posing a huge threat. Now, North Korea is preparing ICBMs, solid-fueled missiles that can be easily hidden and launched in as little as 20 minutes, and has a substantial arsenal, we believe, of nuclear weapons. So how many nuclear weapons does North Korea have? Well, North Korea's nuclear weapons program is what Donald Rumsfeld would call a known unknown. We just know they have a nuclear weapons program because after some of the nuclear tests, there has been air sampling indicating radioactive gases that indicate that a nuclear device had been detonated. But the actual size of the device, whether it has been miniaturized, whether it was fueled by uranium or plutonium, whether it was an advanced fission device, whether it was a hydrogen bomb, which is extremely unlikely, I might add, nobody outside of North Korea knows. I have to wonder whether the Iranians know, because I think they're collaborating with the North Koreans, but that's another issue. So how many weapons do the North Koreans have? Here are five estimates I'm going to read for you just to give you an idea. The left-wing Plowshares Fund, which is funded by George Soros, believes that North Korea could have under 15 weapons. This is as of July 2017. The left-wing Federation for American Scientists believe that North Korea should could have 10 to 20 nuclear weapons. This is also as of July 2017. Siegfried Hecker, a former head of the Los Alamos National Laboratory, said in 2016 North Korea could have up to 20 nuclear weapons. David Albright, president of the Institute for Science and International Security, said in an April 2017 report, North Korea could have 13 to 30 weapons and up to 50 nuclear weapons in 2020. And finally, according to a 2015 Wall Street Journal report, China's top nuclear experts believe that North Korea had 20 nuclear weapons in 2015 and could have had as many as 40 in 2016. This is just devastating, and it just shows the enormous challenge we're facing from this rogue state, from the state that is constantly threatening to attack the United States and its neighboring allies with nuclear weapons and with missiles. I think there's real questions as to the sophistication of these weapons, and I tend to side, from my time with the CIA, I tend to side with experts who believe that their technology is not nearly as farly advanced as some experts think. But I got to tell you, given the rapid advances in their missile program and the fact that the yields of their nuclear tests have had five nuclear tests since 2006, they've gotten substantially greater. I don't think we can rule out the possibility that there have been some very significant advances in North Korea's nuclear program. They claim they have miniaturized warheads that can fit within missiles that could be fired at least at regional states, possibly in an ICBM. Now, will their ICBMs have a guidance system accurate enough to hit the United States? Do they have a reentry vehicle so the ICBM would not be destroyed by the extreme heat and pressure reentering the atmosphere? No one knows that. But I believe China is beginning to wake up to the reality that as I said earlier, this program is on a very dangerous trajectory. And although I think for a while, North Korea's antics served China's interests because it was basically threatening the United States and occupying our time, I think China's realizing that North Korea is becoming a major regional threat. And China's concerned what the United States may do. Now, we would like to put the THAAD anti-missile defense system in South Korea. Unfortunately, the new South Korean president, Moon, stopped that. This was actually approved by the last administration. Unfortunately, it was never deployed. We were rushing in May of this year to deploy the system before Moon took office. But unfortunately, it wasn't fully deployed. And one of the first things he did when he came to office was to order the system not be deployed. I'm hopeful that our diplomats and President Trump can convince President Moon to change his mind, because this sends a message not just to North Korea, it sends a message to China. China does not want this system deployed. They believe it is a threat to their security. So hopefully this is something that we'll be able to do. I think we also have to redeploy nuclear weapons in South Korea. This is something, these weapons were removed by the first Bush administration as a gesture to bring about some type of nuclear agreement with North Korea. That agreement was struck during the Clinton administration. The North Koreans violated it. I think it's time that we do that. That also will send a message to China and to North Korea. In addition, I think we have to consider some other pretty stern steps, such as a very strong set of financial sanctions and cutting off links to international banking institutions by North Korea. We'll do this outside of the UN. We can't let the Chinese veto steps that have to be taken. We also may have to start shooting down North Korean missiles, basically because we can't allow these to be developed any further. I'm cautiously optimistic, very cautious, that the Chinese may be moving to helping us. But I'm worried because their track record is just so awful. But let's hope that this decision by China to join this latest set of sanctions mean that they've finally woken up to the regional threat that North Korea poses and will join us in putting intense pressure to stop this program. My name is Fred Flights. I'm substituting for Frank Affney on Secure Freedom Radio. My first guest today will be Joe Jigenova, who will discuss Robert Mueller and his special counsel investigation of the Trump administration. Thank you for listening.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.